All right, here we are. Another beautiful Sabbath day. Did anybody get chilled? Stay for potluck, it'll warm you up.
Amen.
We'll warm you up here in a couple minutes anyway. Thanks for that bulletin, Michelle. That's beautiful.
Amen.
I couldn't have picked a better picture. That's perfect. I like the scripture too. It's a little different than the one I'm using, but it has the same idea. And I love it. I really love it. Jesus, what he's done for each one of us. We've got plenty of time. I'm glad for that. As is my custom, noon is it. That's it. When it hits noon, that's it. And I, you know, Wilmer last week, or a couple weeks ago, whenever he was here, I didn't say that at lunchtime your brain shuts off. Now, he added that. What I was going to say, but I didn't want to be rude to Wilmer, was that at lunchtime, your stomach turns on. That's what's going on. I mean, really. So there's no sense in competing with a person's desire to eat lunch. It just isn't going to happen. Okay, so as is, it's becoming a custom for me to do this sermon in three sections.
Yes.
The first section's fairly short. The second section's a little longer, and the third section I should be able to get through. If I don't, you'll just have to wait. I'll call it sermon number 105.5, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. No, we'll make it through that. I don't know what everybody's big deal is about me numbering my sermons. They just don't like it. Wilmer has an issue with it. I don't know, just. Brandy loves it now. Michelle, you like it? There you go. And if you missed 104, I'll print it off for you. You know, it's not hard. Or 101. I think I started at 100. I don't know. If you want to know what the sermon's about, all you have to do is look at the text. There you have it. It's that simple. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Saving us, or salvation, is the work of God.
Amen.
Thank you for that, amen. Saving us, or salvation, is the work of God. The context of this verse, that is Luke 19 and verse 10, begins in verse 1. So if you have your scriptures, turn to the book of Luke. I told the Crescent City Church this, and I'm beginning to think it's more applicable as I preach. If I give you a text, I'm trying to prove a point. But if I give you the context, I'm trying to tell you a truth. Does that make any sense? I can try and prove my point all day long with one scripture and just keep after it. But if I want to give you a truth, I want to give you the context, the story. How did this happen? How did verse 10 come to be? Well, let's just start here. Luke chapter 19, and just look at verse 1 for a minute. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. This journey that we just read about, that Jesus is taking, is not a second thought. It's not a shortcut. Jesus entering and passing through Jericho is deliberate.
Absolutely.
Jesus never wastes a move. Jesus never wastes a word. What Jesus is doing is Spirit and Father led.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Everything that he's doing. So let's take the scripture off the screen. Jericho in and of itself, in the Old and the New Testament, would by itself be a worthy sermon subject. If you think about your past readings of scripture and where Jericho fits in, it'd be worthy of a dozen sermons, but that's not what it's about. Today, Jericho is where Zacchaeus lives. And Jesus wants to make a few points about salvation. That's why Jesus is going through Jericho. Because Zacchaeus lives there. A lot of other people, right? The scripture, if you read this whole story, which is very short, you're going to see all sorts of things you may not have noticed before. You think about Sabbath school, and yeah, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. Yeah, that's right, but there's more to the story. So we're going to kind of look at some words, and we're kind of try to pull some of these truths out. Jesus wants to make a very specific point, maybe a few points about salvation. But first, a side note. So keep in mind everything I just mentioned, and now we're going to do a side note. The Hebrew parents of Zacchaeus carefully chose his name from the Hebrew root words. Two Hebrew root words, and you can look these up in your concordance. Zakai and Zakak. And Jesus wants to use Zacchaeus' name definition to prove a point. Because the two words I just mentioned, Zakai and Zakak, imply purity, temperance, and the word clean. That's what the name of Zacchaeus means. Interesting, isn't it? Now, Zacchaeus' name was and still is a lofty desire for any parent. To hope this, to hope that name for any child, that they be pure, transparent, and clean. Amen? It's a lofty desire for any parent. Any parent would be proud that their child would grow up and be transparent. That they would be a clean person in every sense of the word, and then their heart would be pure. But that's our side note and the end of Section 1. So where are we at? Jesus is passing through Jericho. That's where we're at. Envision that in your mind. There's a huge crowd following him. Amen. The story says that Zacchaeus wants to see him badly. There's something going on in the mind of Zacchaeus, and he has to see Jesus. So that's the visual. Imagine this crowd and Jesus passing through Jericho. Section 2. Jesus knew something by the power of his Father and the Holy Spirit that nobody else could see. Jesus knew something. Zacchaeus was a desperate man. He was a man ready to change his entire reason for living. And Jesus knew this. Look at verse 2. Luke chapter 19 and verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. All right, so let's break that down, because I love that. Let's kind of unpack that verse, because it says a lot. And we're going to we're going to explain a lot, we're going to say a lot about that one verse. Not too much, but enough to give you the idea. Zacchaeus is called one of the chief publicans, meaning that he presided over other tax gatherers. You with me so far?
Yep.
Either that or he received their collections and conveyed them to the Roman government. Now, this is scripture saying that Zacchaeus was this chief publican. So one of the two, either he's overseeing or he's taken the collections and he's given them to the Romans. He's taken money from you and your neighbor for the Roman government. How's that going over? How are the people appreciating that? Not much. Zacchaeus was rich. I would say infamous, especially in his region. And more than likely, if you keep reading in this story, you'll see that what I'm about to say is true. More than likely, he was viewed as a sinner. In fact, when Jesus says, "Hey, come out of the tree," I believe it's in verse 5 or 6 or 7, it's one of those. You can browse through there. When Jesus says, "Come down out of the tree, we're going to your house for lunch," a whole group of people said, "Whoa, this guy's going to eat with a sinner. Jesus himself is going to eat with a sinner. This is wrong." So they've got their mental picture about what's going on. Zacchaeus was particularly detestable in the eyes of the Jews and the Jewish leadership. Right? For good reason, right? Because why?
He's a traitor.
Yeah, basically he's a traitor. They want freedom from the Roman government, and here's Zacchaeus helping. Zacchaeus is a Jew. His name says it. His mother and father chose it for him. It's verse 7 where the scripture says, "They all murmured." You ever hear murmuring? "Okay, Zacchaeus, come down. We're going to your house to eat lunch today." You can hear it. People despise this guy. But wait. Zacchaeus has something to say. Zacchaeus has something to say that blows everybody's mind. They can't believe what they're hearing. But it doesn't surprise one person. And guess who it doesn't surprise?
Jesus.
Jesus is not surprised. In verse 8, you can put it on the screen, but in verse 8, I'm just going to summarize. Zacchaeus begins to confess, and Zacchaeus begins to repent on all of the things that he's been doing that he doesn't want to do anymore, that he realizes has to change in his life. And he goes on to start explaining how he can't stand his life anymore and he wants to change life. And Zacchaeus is confessing. And Zacchaeus is repenting. And the people are shocked. They're literally shocked. And Jesus is saying, "Let's go to your house for lunch." So if you'll put verse 9 up on the screen, this is the beginning of a pretty interesting journey. Jesus has a few points about salvation, and he makes them in this verse. And I've looked at this verse I don't know how many times, but when you start looking at it in context, and you start looking at the name of Zacchaeus, and you start looking at what Jesus is saying and breaking down those words and the way he said it, it becomes a story about salvation that, quite frankly, I was like, wow. Yeah, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He had to climb up in a tree to see Jesus. But Zacchaeus had something he wanted to unload and get rid of. And that was everything he wasn't that he knew he wanted to be. And Jesus was there to say, and we'll read it. Verse 9, and Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "This day is salvation come to your house, inasmuch as you also are a child of Abraham." You have got to be kidding me. The whole crowd is like, what? Salvation has what? He also is who? This crowd, not only was the murmuring going on, but after Jesus speaks, we don't have a testimony. Luke doesn't go on about what happened in the people's eyes at that point. But for Jesus to say this in front of the whole crowd, this was unbelievable. Today, salvation has come to your house. This guy is a tax collector, and he's chief tax collector. This guy is a sinner in the worst case of the word, and you're telling us in front of this whole crowd, this is a good crowd of people here, that salvation has come to his house? There's no way. There's no way this is happening. Oh, really? Who's speaking? Jesus. Who's doing the miracles? Who's dispensing the grace of God everywhere he goes? Who is considered not only a prophet, but more than a prophet? Who's the name in the room right now? It's Jesus. And Jesus says two things. Salvation has come to your house. He actually says three things, but you have to start digging. You have to get the hard hat on. You have to get the air chisel out. You have to get the gloves, and you got to start chiseling, and you got to start digging, and you got to start moving rock. To get the rest of what Jesus did here this afternoon, you got to start digging, or you're never going to get it. So you get it the easy way. Because I was chiseling and digging all night on this. Maybe even a week. Maybe even 2 weeks. When I first read this commentary by one of my favorite commentators, I'm like, no way. Where did you get that? So I started digging, and I had to start working at it, and I found it. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. You also are a child of Abraham, and salvation has come to your house today. There's something that you have to focus on besides those two points. Zacchaeus is a lot of things, but he certainly is not living up to the meaning of his name. Nor is there any way that Zacchaeus is saved, and there's absolutely no way that Zacchaeus is a child of Abraham. That's what stuck in the minds of everybody that knew him. And it was not going to change. I'm not going to change it. You're not going to change it. Everybody in the room wasn't going to change it. The whole crowd knew who the guy was. This was as big a case of negative as you could find. And Jesus got up that morning and walked straight for Jericho. And the disciples are like, whoa, what are we going to be doing in Jericho today? It was the biggest negative you could add up. For Jesus to go into this town and tell the biggest negative that lived there, salvation's come to your house and you're a child of Abraham. Pow. Section 3. So we have to look at verse 9 again. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." Now, I like this translation. I think the King James works. When you focus in on the words, "as you also," or "as he also," That's a correct translation. And the original language connects "he" and "you also" with everybody in this room. Amen. And if you look at the original language in the Greek, you find that "you also" are exactly who Jesus was talking about. Because isn't it a strange phrase that salvation has come to this house for as much as he also... Why not just say, because Zacchaeus is a good guy and I want to see him in the kingdom. Why didn't Jesus say, no, because he also is a child of Abraham. He also is found salvation, and the also is where you come in. It's the Greek word kai. And the Greek word kai gets out the biggest net and throws it as far and as wide as God can throw it and says, you also, salvation has come to your house, and you also are a child of Abraham. Do you want that? Does anybody in this room want that? Because Jesus is saying, and you also, and everybody in the crowd, I don't know if they missed it. I don't know who heard it. I don't know where the connection was in these people's mind. But if you were there and you heard Jesus say, and you also are a child of Abraham, and you also are saved, wouldn't you say, how'd that happen? Wouldn't you say something to the effect of, what did he mean by that? Or am I too prejudiced thinking about how much I hate Zacchaeus to have heard Jesus say, and you also are saved, and you also are a child of Abraham? Did I miss that? Or did I hear it? So here's how it connects. Who is as you also? That's me. That's you.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, it's John 3:16, whomsoever will. That's who it is. That's who also is. Who also are they who are in addition to Zacchaeus and everybody else that's going to be saved, that through Jesus become pure, transparent, and clean. You become Zacchaeus. That's his name. That's the definition. There's the connector. Jesus goes into Jericho. Here's a Jew that's supposed to be pure, transparent, and clean, and actually wants to be. And Jesus says, you are. You are saved, and you are in the kingdom. You're a child of Abraham.
Amen.
And so are you also.
Amen.
That's the word kai. K-A-I in the Greek pulls everybody together. Three letters pulls everybody together. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit pulls everybody together. You also. You also now can have the kingdom of God. Isn't it strange when you start seeing it through those eyes that Matthew 5:8 has a whole new meaning now? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's Zacchaeus' name. Oh, to have been there. To know this and have been there and to walk with Jesus into Jericho. Oh, to have the video replay when Jesus says, and you also, like Zacchaeus, are saved today. And you're the children of Abraham. Oh, to have been there. Oh, to have been a mouse in the corner when Jesus is talking, to see all the faces, all the prejudice, all the hatred, all of the love for Jesus, and the shock when he said to Zacchaeus, you're a pure guy. I see right through you. You want to be saved. Whoa. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is a lofty desire for even our Heavenly Father, is it not? Zacchaeus' parents, when they named him, that was a lofty desire. But isn't it a lofty desire for our Heavenly Father to desire this for us?
Amen.
Isn't it? And yet he provides all of the righteousness. He provides all the purity. He provides all the transparency. He provides it all. You want to be clean? Provision is there. It's all right there. For For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
Saving us, or salvation, is the work of God.
Yes.
How do I participate? You're going to figure that out, because you're the only one that can. I can't tell you how to participate. I can tell you how Doug participates. I can tell you how Chantel participates, Jim Ball. I can see it. I see it every week. I see you sometimes during the week. Everybody in this room, I don't know. Salvation's the work of God, and you can help. How do you help? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and keep accomplishing that. You're here today. You're the children of Abraham, and you have salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Why not keep going to where God intends every one of us to act out of his motives, his desires, his plan? Okay, so I plagiarized this from Spurgeon, what I'm about to read, but I had to rewrite it in 2018. This is no more or no less than Steps to Christ in a Nutshell. You know, Spurgeon and Ellen White lived, overlapped, along with some other great commentators. But I'm not trying to diminish or take away from any of them. I'm trying to say that when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the 1800s, the late 1800s, the mid and late, there were a lot of people that were hit with the Holy Spirit and wrote some fantastic things. So you can find this just about any writing from the 1800s. It is God alone who quickens the soul. He is both Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher. If I am prayerful, God makes me prayerful. If I have any grace at all, they are God's gifts to me. If I hold on in a consistent life, it is because God upholds me with his hand.
Amen.
I do nothing except what God himself first does in me. If I have rejected a spiritual enemy, the Lord's strength empowered me. Do I live before people a consecrated life? It is not I, but Christ who lives in me. Am I sanctified? I did not cleanse myself. God's Holy Spirit sanctified me. Am I weaned from the world? I am weaned by God's corrections, sanctified to my good. Do I grow in knowledge? The great instructor teaches me. All my improvements were fashioned by his heavenly mind. I find in God all that I want, and I can do nothing except I abide in him.
Amen.
I guess Zacchaeus wasn't such a wee little man, was he? He had a great big heart.
Amen.
And he loved God.
Yes.
And Jesus knew it. Heavenly Father, may the same be said about us, that we love you and we want to be with you more than anything.
Yes.
So we again give you full reign to our lives. We pray for mercy, pray for wisdom, pray for guidance, that transparency, that pure heart that you've already credited to us. Father, empower us to live this life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.